Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
Okay, so Jimmy Cusco will be here at 8:35. We'll talk a little sports with Jimmy. Mike Clemens is home on the mend. Hope Mike's doing okay. We haven't talked to Mike in a while. He's just kind of recuperating a little bit, but hope he's doing well. Bridget from the 818 says, I plan to catch up on Top Chef Milwaukee. Stuart, you been watching that? Do we have Stuart?
Yeah, I think I'm here. You got cheers on? How about you, Alabama? You got cheers on?
Have you been watching Top Chef? Stuart Waddles is with us here at Nightlight. We're talking kids movies. We have two more. Conrad and Stuart and I are giving our top five movies, kids movies of all time. We both have to do two and one still. But I got distracted here with Top Chef. I kind of forgot about Top Chef. Are you watching that?
No, I know I should be. It's just, I don't have much time to, once the kids go to bed, I'm asleep and they pretty much rule the roost when the screen is on.
Do you ever get the thing when you're reading your kid a book at night and you fall asleep and then they're just like nudging you like, Dad?
No, but I get the yawns. It gets to be like two sentences.
It's brutal.
it's rough. And it's like every time. And I try not to, but.
That's so great though. Great times.
Yeah, it is.
From the 920, Sherry says, Sandlot. Yeah, my kids and I always love Mary Poppins, says Sherry.
Right. They should see Mary Poppins.
Absolutely.
I'm big on showing them the classics. They've seen The Sound of Music. My little girl likes it.
Yeah, you know, I tried to do that with my kids. They were not that receptive. They could sense like when something was old. And I'm like, look, I'm not trying to get you to watch what I watched as a kid. This is like before me by 40 years. But you got to watch the classics, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have here. Carla from Baraboo says, Better Off Dead. Yes. Monique and G. Ricky. I'm sorry your mom blew up.
Sorry your mom blew up. That's G. Ricky, I'm sorry your mom blew up.
Good memory, Carla. That's Conrad's Aunt Carla, by the way. Stuart, I don't know if you knew that, but.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
All right.
She's
hey,
great.
Carla.
She's a frequent texter. Carla also says, Hi, Conrad. Glad you had a great vacation. Hi, Pete. Again, working the weekend. I already read that. I do that all the time. So I go backwards, forwards. I don't know what's going on. Paula Krieger, Conrad's mom. The whole family's checking in tonight. My favorite kids movie is Shrek. I kind of forgot about Shrek.
It's such a good one.
It's a great one. And Robert from McFarland says, The Wizard of Oz was my favorite movie as a kid. That freaked the heck out of me when I was a kid. I almost couldn't watch it. I got very scared of The Wizard of Oz.
You ever sync it up with the dark side? You ever do the dark side of the rainbow?
No.
You ever hear about this? You've never heard about this?
It sounds
familiar. A guy like you heard about this before.
What is it,
though?
So
on the third lion roar on the movie, if you play Wizard of Oz and you start dark side at the third lion roar, there are certain things that line up and it gets pretty crazy.
Dark side of the moon, you're talking about.
Dark side of the moon
from
Pink Floyd.
Wow.
And again, there's certain parts of the movie that match up with what's going on the screen. The lunatic is on the grass. You see the lion jumping around there, dancing on the grass. When it turns, when like the instant money starts, it goes from black and white into color.
Oh my gosh.
There's a whole bunch of these things that I guess it's been proven that Pink Floyd didn't do that on purpose. But I mean, you can go on YouTube. Back in my day, when I went to college at Oshkosh in the dorms, we had to get a VHS tape and the CD and do it old school. roar, then start. But now on YouTube, somebody's already done it for you.
That's hilarious. That's the only way to do it. I don't think I would go to those lengths, but I would watch it on YouTube. Oh, we got a texter here, Stuart, though, from the 608. Robert says that Pink stuff, that Pink Floyd stuff is BS.
Well, when you're watching it, you have these things are happening.
Right.
I hear the lunatic is on the grass, and then there's this guy dancing around on the grass. You got to think that's weird. Five or six of those things.
It's weird.
I'm not saying they did it on purpose.
But who discovered that? If they didn't really do that and put the word out, Who made that correlation? That's insane.
Now you're on to something. These are the conversations that I like to have. I like to think about all these strange corporate decisions and being in that boardroom. Like, who came up with that? Who are the ad wizards that came up with this one?
Nothing would surprise me. I'm telling you. Jack from the 414 says, don't know if this is available to listeners, but in my opinion, somewhere in the top five kids movies should be an oldie. The Iron Giant. Yes.
Iron Giant.
That
I'm all in favor of the oldies. I've been looking for the Incredible Mr. Lippitt.
Oh, nice.
Don Knotts.
Yeah, Don Knotts. I don't think I ever saw that. I don't think I ever saw that one.
You know what I'm talking about, though. He's a man, and he goes in and he gets animated. And something I've read recently is that inside of in the Little Mermaid, there's a school of fish, like a whole bunch of fish around, and they hid a version of Mr. Lippitt inside of all these other fishes as a tribute.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to our list. So we're at number, we're counting down. We're at number two. Stuart, please have the honors.
It's going to be Frozen. I got Frozen way up there because it's a solid movie and it's a good musical. And I'm, as a 5-year old who enjoyed The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, I came up on great musicals.
Wow, nice one.
Frozen is up there. It's a good movie. It's funny. It's got the comedic elements. The little snowman and the moose that's talking. It's funny.
You know what? I years ago, my son and I went to one movie. My wife and my daughter went to Frozen. I can't even remember what we saw. And when we got done a little early, and I peeked in the theater, and my daughter was giggling uncontrollably at Frozen. And just hearing her laugh, I'm like, I'm so mad I'm not in this movie right now. Like watching them. You know what I mean? Like, because it is funny, right? And they love it. And that's
it's a classic.
A great one.
I mean, it really is a classic.
That's a great one. Conrad, what do you got for number two?
I have How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay. Nicely done.
I watched it again as a 24-year-old, and it still held up. It was still great.
Wow. A slow night at the K-Man's house. I'm going to go number two. Where's my number? Oh, Toy Story 2, which probably gives away my number one. Yes, I know. Everyone's going to say Toy Story 2 is better than Toy Story 1. I always lean toward the originals that gave birth to the sequels, so to speak, figuring like you can't have one without the other. So my number one is Toy Story. So I guess I jumped in front of you guys.
It's worthy.
Stuart, what do you have for number one?
That's really worthy. And it's tough to pull out a Toy Story because they're all so good.
Oh, yeah.
I should have had it in my list. And again, my list is a little more recent.
Right.
Just because of the situation. I got young kids at this point. Inside Out. Have you seen Inside Out?
No, I have not.
It's going to blow your mind. It has no right to be as good as it is. And it's like some people in some philosophy majors wrote this screenplay. It's so deep. It's so well done. It just, there's things that you experience in your life. Like for me every day that I think back to that movie, things that they point out or brought up. It's just, it's so good. There's a sequel coming out in a couple of weeks, Inside Out 2.
Yeah, I knew that.
But the original Inside Out it's really a messes with your mind. It's such a good
movie. Wow, I got to watch that. Okay.
Yeah.
I know Robert is taking me to task here. You haven't seen Inside Out? It's amazing. I'm one of those people,
really,
though. I know I should see that anyway. And now I will, just with all these endorsements. But I don't see kids' movies as much as I used to. And that makes me sad. But I will catch up. Conrad, number one.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
How do you like that, Stuart? Have you seen that?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, it's great.
Tell me what's this all about. Give me your elevator pitch on
this
movie.
Give them a thumbnail. Yeah.
Well, basically, it's just if you watch it when you're young, it's a great movie. It has young Taylor Lautner in it, and it's about a shark boy and a lava girl and this other kid who pretty much, I don't know, has a dream. And it's so hard to explain because there's so.
He's a shark boy, and then she's a lava girl. It's like, okay, we don't know what that means.
As one would be.
It's so hard to explain because there's so much to that movie.
Huh.
But there's,
is this a Pixar joint? Is this a Disney? What are we talking? Is it
I don't
imagination?
Think it's Pixar. I remember when it came out.
What is it?
We could find out.
Yeah.
I will look it up.
That's a good number one.
But what is it? One more time, Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
Yeah.
Yes. The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
It's like the Capulets and the Montagues.
Yes.
The Shark Boys and the Lava Girls. That's great. Those are all great lists, you guys. This was fun. We should have had Jimmy Cuska come in here, too, because he's got young kids. And every time I ask Jimmy what he's watching when he's on the show, he's like, all I've been watching were kids movies or shows because of my kids, but
And I've talked to Jimmy before about what our kids are watching and listening to, and we've had discussions about Conway Twitty and how our children enjoy his music. And it's again, they're too young to be knowing about Conway Twitty, but I love Jimmy. He's a good dude.
He's a great dude, and he's coming up at 8:35. Dude, Stuart, we have to do this. We didn't get to Fibs and we didn't get to Summerfest, but I want to discuss those with you. We have time on Summerfest. Can you come back next week? I'm asking you to get away from your kids for another couple segments if you could do it, but I would love to discuss.
No, that's all right.
Okay, cool. Because you live in that area. I would love to talk Summerfest with you, and you have firsthand, you get a firsthand look at Fibs all the time. Personally, okay, as a transplant, as a half Fib, half cheesehead myself, I've lived in Wisconsin so long, Illinois people bug the crap out of me, and I think we need a better name than Fibs. That's just me. It's just not clever, you know?
It's not clever, but it's stuck around. It's really got the longevity, and it's tough. It's going to be tough to break that, Pete.
But
you're
going
to have something really good.
It's Fibs and Bears still suck. They're so basic, and they've just stood the test of time. That's the only reason they're things, you know?
For a lot of people around here, it becomes difficult. You know how you like, how's FCC friendly way of doing this? You know how some people say ATM machine and you don't need to say the extra machine because it's already in the ATM.
Oh, right.
There's some people that use the F word before they use.
Right. I love that.
they double up on it.
Right. That's great. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I will get in touch with you, buddy. We'll do this either next week or the week after. We'll talk Summerfest because there's great bands on here I want to discuss with you, and we can have that discussion if you're willing.
Yeah, been going there all my life. Very I got some stories. Future. Can talk about what's going on.
Awesome. All right, thanks so much for your time tonight, Stuart. Have a great night.
Good talking to you. See you, Pete.
Hug
See
those
Conrad.
Kids, buddy. All right.
Will do. Tell Jimmy I said hi.
You got it. That's Stuart J. Waddles, who covers Southeast Wisconsin here at Civic Media and does a great job and is very up on kids' movies. That was impressive. It's What to Watch Thursday, folks. Let us know what you're going to watch this weekend, and we're a little behind on texts. I'll get to some of your texts. Robert was all fired up about Inside Out and the Fibs. He says, "This for the money, Fibs." Yeah, okay, that's one good way of looking at it. And Pete on the Street, that's coming up next. My Bigfoot segments. You're not going to want to miss this. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Steve says The Goonies is a great kid movie. Totally agree, Steve. Although it's scary, The Goonies, it is a kid's movie, but it's scary. It's kind of like in that Wizard of Oz territory. Carla says Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, another great one. And Chris Casper, always love hearing from Chris, somebody that ate the right things. I don't know what that means, Chris. He might be talking about drugs or something from The Wizard of Oz and Pink Floyd. And then Robert chastised me for not seeing Inside Out. Last weekend, there was a Bigfoot convention in my hometown of Marinette, Wisconsin, where I live right now. And they had hundreds of people there that descended upon Marinette and heard a series of speakers talk about Bigfoot and its existence or whether the fact that he exists or she exists or not. It was a really fun time. I was there for about an hour and a half. I did not hear any of the speakers, but I hit the streets, and we've got a little bit of Pete on the Street from last weekend at the Bigfoot convention. Let's play one of those clips right now, Conrad. Conrad, take a powder. Where's Conrad? Okay, folks, I guess I'm on my own here. I have no idea what happened to Conrad. Here's another. Oh, Chris Casper says, friendly Illinois buddies. There you go, Chris. Why do we have the adversaries? Especially for a guy like me, who's lived in both places for a long time. So, Conrad, can we do this? Oh, we got a phone call. It must be an important phone call. All right, so the Bigfoot convention was last weekend. And there were speakers that came from all over the place. And some of these people had TV credits. Like, they've had shows on the Discovery Channel, Animal Planet. It's been like, you know, serious credits. And most of them were big-time believers. I would say the speakers that I talked to, I only talked to a couple of them. I think there were four. Are, like, definitely believers. But the people that went, I felt like were kind of on the fence. A lot of them were on the fence. They want to believe, or they're open to it. I'm open to it. I haven't seen really any definitive proof, but I am open to it. So that was interesting. So as soon as there might be breaking news. So as soon as Conrad gets off the phone, we'll play our Bigfoot clips. Checking in on the stream here, Stacy Sue says, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was the scariest kids movie I ever saw. Wow. It's been so long since I've seen that. I didn't realize it was scary. She also says, Disney, The Song of the South, Zippity-Doo-Dah-Day, one of my faves. Great one, Stacy Sue. And I love Snow White. I remember my parents taking us to the drive-in that used to be in Marinette. Stacy's from Marinette, too. Well done, Stacy. Those are great suggestions, too. All right, Conrad, everything okay?
Yeah.
He's making long-distance calls over there while we're doing a show. What's happening?
Yeah, I just had a call back to Italy quick.
All right, well, let's try to shoehorn these clips in here. This is this is Pete on the street at the Bigfoot convention last weekend. Clip number one.
Okay, my name's Doug Hijack.
Okay.
And I am from the Minneapolis area and have been producing Bigfoot programming since about 1999.
I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic. I'm open to anything. But what would you say the most concrete proof is, in your opinion, that a Bigfoot could exist?
What's so interesting is they're all right near water. 99% are within 500 yards of water. Think about that.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this.
Yes.
You come face to face with a Bigfoot. What do you do? Like literally 5 feet apart. What are you doing?
Freeze.
You don't know what's going on up in the UP. Let's be honest. There's a lot of woods up there. There's a lot of nothing up there. Anything could exist up there and never be.
Yeah.
Do you believe in people?
Of course I believe.
Do you believe in the human spirit?
Of course.
All right, good. Are you a big time believer in Bigfoot?
No.
Are you? Okay, so you're on the fence. You're more like me.
My husband is.
Okay. So you're a trooper. So he dragged you to this? Does he talk about Bigfoot incessantly at home?
He watches it incessantly, yeah.
And what do you do when he does that?
Go to another room.
Let's say the two of you are out to dinner one night, Bigfoot puts the move on you and gives you the big eye. What does your husband do?
Tells me to have a good time.
One of those kind of marriages. Okay. What is your name, first of all?
Melissa.
And you're the bartender here at the Best Western? Where do you stand on Bigfoot, Melissa? Well,
I believe there is something out there. I have never seen him myself, but okay. I believe.
You sure it's a him?
Yes. I think it's a man. Because a friend of mine said if it was a girl, they would have a pink bow in their hair. And there's a call you can do, I guess. You can call for the Bigfoot, and it'll respond back with another call. That's what my mother told me.
Really?
I don't have firsthand knowledge of that.
Okay. Do you know what the call is?
No, but a lot of the Bigfoot enthusiasts, they know how to do it.
Okay, this is Tyler doing the Bigfoot call that I just learned about from Melissa. You could be making that up and I'd have no idea.
That sounds like it could be. That sounds legit.
But if a couple of big feet show up behind me, I'll know it's real. You got to be careful where you do that. Would you go and do that in the UP, like in the middle of the forest?
I have, in multiple states, actually.
You're doing a round of speed dating, and all of a sudden there's a Bigfoot in front of you.
Wow, my kids are going to be tall.
And hairy.
And hairy.
It might not smell so good based on what I've heard here.
So that's clip number one. How long is the second one, Conrad?
That one's about 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay. All right. We'll do that either at the end of this, or maybe we'll do it tomorrow night. We'll see how we do. So it was really fun. And we got more people that I talked to that were having a great time. We'll play that. More Pete on the street. We'll either do it in the last segment. But I don't want to cut Jimmy short either. So maybe we'll put that tomorrow night. We've got Emerson Lehman on the show tomorrow night, folks, from the WBAY Morning Show. He's been on the show before. He's going to talk about a racing event here in Wisconsin tomorrow. Emerson's always fun. We'll come up with some kind of fun quiz for Emerson too, Conrad. Maybe we can do that.
As we always do.
We always do. And he always does, he knocks it out of the park.
He did.
For lack of a racing term that I can't think of right now. But Emerson's fun. And then, of course, Terry Barr will be here on Friday night. We have so much fun talking to Terry on Friday nights. She always brings us great music. I've said it before on this show. That's how I find my new music now, is by one of the Max Inc. hosts, Terry Barr, coming on our show and playing music that that she's found and that they have on Max Inc. every Saturday night, a six-hour show of music. They do Live in the Lair from 9 to 10. It's a great show. And she missed you, buddy, when you were gone.
Yeah, she said, it's great to have you back this week. And she sent me a song already.
Okay.
And I listened to it, and it's...
You did.
It's really good.
Very good. Jack from 414 says, one more kids movie, if you'll allow me. Of course I will, Jack. He says, Up. It's such a wonderful, sad, happy story, and I think the only kids movie I ever cried while watching. You know, I almost put that, Jack, in my top five when Stuart was here, but I only would have put like the first 20 minutes of Up. Because after that, I don't think the movie can follow itself. I agree with you. It's a great movie. But like to make a top five list, it didn't quite make my top five because of that. Because the beginning, this couple, they're so beautiful. And the music is so great. And I remember being in a coffee house once and some kids started playing the Up music on the piano and I almost cried because I thought of the movie. That's a great one though, Jack. Thank you for the text. Your texts are always welcome here, Jack. Get in on the fun. It's a What to Watch Thursday. I'm wondering what you guys are watching this weekend. Let me know on the text line, 855-75. What is it? Conrad, I'm freaking out. 855-752-4842. There we go. This is very close to my old phone number. That's why I get mixed up. All right. Jimmy Cuska is going to come up and talk to us about some Wisconsin sports. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. As we enter our fourth quadrant here at Nightlight on a Thursday night edition, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. And now we will do, I know I've been teasing that Bigfoot stuff all week. We will do Pete on the Street, Bigfoot Edition, part two tomorrow night, folks. We will bump that to tomorrow night. So more silliness from the Bigfoot convention. Right now, we'll get into some sports. We haven't really talked, Conrad, I think since you left, I don't think we've really talked much sports.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight my good friend and just an outstanding sports reporter who works here at Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Thank you so much for joining us. I think I mentioned yesterday we've had trouble connecting with Mike. I dropped the ball last week. He was sick the week before. I feel like I have to reintroduce myself to him at this point. So I appreciate it. Now he's recuperating and hopefully he's doing well. So it's great to have you, buddy, and I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Yeah, and I'm glad to fill in for Mike. No one can really fill those very, very large shoes that Mike leaves, but I'm happy to help any way I can with what he does. He is a tremendous asset to what we do here at Civic Media.
You both are. You guys are both phenomenal. Tell us about, all right, the high school softball tournament. Is this late? for this to be happening, or is it this time of year every year?
No, it's the softball tournament is in the, we call it the penultimate week of the high school season. So this week, the championships are softball, golf, boys golf, and new this year for the first time is lacrosse. So lacrosse is in its first year. And then next week, our final two state championships are state baseball, which is just down the road from you. That's in Grand Chute at the Timber Rattler Stadium. That's next Monday through Thursday. Nice. And then next Thursday through Saturday, the final championship for high school sports in the state is at Eline Soccer Stadium near Milwaukee. And that is girls soccer state championship. And that means after next Saturday, the high school sports season is done.
Man, that's late. And some of these schools are out, right?
You know, most of them are. But, yeah. You know, we used to have summer baseball. And southeastern Wisconsin was kind of the last part of the state to hang on to that. And those games would go into July. But that's done away with now. So now our final high school sports are mid-June. A lot of the reason for that is that a lot of kids are playing travel ball and things like that. So they get released to do those things. Then, of course, there's your contact days for your fall sports. Those coaches want to get kids out, football and volleyball and all that. So, you know, there's so much, the calendar only has so many days, Pete, but sports never truly stops here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it doesn't. I got to tell you, American Legion ball, give me a good American Legion game. I'm paying a couple bucks to get in, and I'm seeing some really fun baseball. You can still get great concessions, and it's just a great atmosphere. And even some of the smaller parks and minor league teams, you're dropping a lot of money if you have kids.
Oh, yeah. If you go to a minor league game, there's still value in it. I think Wisconsin is unique in how much value you get for going to a ballpark. But I'm with you. A Legion game or in the southern part of the state, home talent league, there's different – it's the same thing, just called a little differently. Some of those games you go to, and you have a very intimate atmosphere. You're right up on the action.
Yeah.
You know, hot dogs are a buck. You know, you can't beat it.
You're watching your neighbor hit a triple. It's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So, Jim, the Packers just finished OTAs. Any big news out of there? I asked Conrad. I said, hey, can you catch me up? And he said A.J. Dillon had his teeth put together or something like that. I'm like, that could be serious. I don't know.
I think one of the stories that emerged this week was when the Minnesota Vikings signed Justin Jefferson to that huge contract, right? And everybody's making the comparison that his annual salary is something like triple the entire Packers receiving corps salary for this year, right? Wow. So that emerged as a storyline this week. So a lot of people that were in Green Bay this week were asking, Jordan Love and asking Coach Matt LaFleur, asking them about the receivers. And there was a lot of high praise given, not only to the Christian Watsons and Romeo Dubs of the world, but they spent a lot of time talking about Bo Melton, a receiver who emerged last year with the first 100-yard receiving game for the Packers late in the year, and talked about how he went from being cut to a practice squad guy, finally got his chance to shine last year, and he made the most of it. And everybody was talking about just how great it was to see that play out. And then the other thing that was almost uniform from every player that was talked to was that everybody feels like there's pretty good vibes going on right now. Everybody feels like there's a good energy with the Packers. Everybody's feeling pretty good. And, I got to say, when you have that as your headline here at this stage of the season, you got to feel pretty good about the fact that everyone's vibing and feeling good, and going into the year, they're hyping each other up.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, they closed, this is like the third installation of a future possible Hall of Fame quarterback, and you got a young crop of receivers. I mean, don't go to sleep on Jalen Reed either. I thought he had a great year last year. I would think they're in pretty good shape. But is this kind of like the only time NFL reporters do get a break is after OTAs before training? It is such a year-round sport now. And as a fan, I love that. But reporters must work their butts off.
And yeah, I know we love to think about our reporters like Mike Clemens and getting a bit of a break here. So yeah, so the next thing is the mandatory mini camps that are coming up next week. And then they get that break until the start of training camp. So there's a mandatory mini camp that happens next week. And then after the mandatory mini camp, that's everybody has to be there. Obviously, that's what mandatory means.
Right.
Then they get that break till the start of training camp next month. So you do get that month-long break there kind of in the middle of the summer. That is something that's been kind of a point of contention. Some players feel like they need more time off, et cetera, especially as they keep adding games to the regular season. But they do get that month away. And for guys like Mike, they don't take the time off. Mike was just telling me that he was looking at his flight plans for go cover the Brewers on the road for the next month. So he never rests.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, if you love what you do, it's not work, right?
Exactly.
So what about Jordan Love's contract? When can we expect to see? That's the downside of sitting him for that long. You know, you got a window now. You don't really get that Super Bowl contract when you have a player like that, right? Because they're going to have to figure out what to do here pretty soon.
You know, and honestly, the leverage is all in Jordan Love's court. I mean, you know, quarterbacks are so essential to what you do in the NFL that, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, leeway you have as an organization to kind of manage that. The leverage is all with the player. They have all the leverage in the world to say, here's what I want. And when you see the contracts being handed out to guys who haven't even had, you know, Love's only been starting a year, so guys who haven't had even that much success and seeing the contracts they get.
Yeah,
the Packers are breaking open a few piggy banks.
Boy, and do you at least see what he does this year? I know he had a great year last year, but, and I'm not saying he can play. There's no question about that. But were his numbers flukish? Do you wait one more year before you pay him?
I think the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets personally, just because, you know, everybody needs a quarterback and, there's a lot of resources, a lot of capital that goes into quarterbacks. So if you've already evaluated him now for half a decade, you've had, you know, five seasons, you've had plenty of time, but you know what you have. So are you going to invest in that? Or are you going to sink a first or second round draft pick and gamble on somebody that you can only evaluate on film over the course of the NFL draft process? You know, that's, I think just the realist in me says, you know, if you're starting him at quarterback right now and he's your guy, you know, you get him locked up now. You don't mess around with the unknown of a rookie quarterback down the road.
So can they get him for, like, he's not going to make Mahomes money maybe, but you got to pay him top dollar, right? I mean, his numbers indicate you got to pony up.
When these contracts come up, especially for an established NFL starter, I mean, top 10 money is, even if you're by whatever metric, not top 10, it's just, every year it's salary creep, right? Every year the cap goes up, so the available money goes up. The bigger contracts that quarterbacks sign goes up. It doesn't come down, really. You know, it's always going up.
Right.
So he's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid a lot of money, which is why when you see the team this year and you see how they've kind of built the roster with so many young guys, they've invested a lot of things into just being flexible with the roster, having a lot of draft picks, a lot of younger guys. That sets them up pretty well to absorb a big contract like they will with Love.
Those are the golden pipes of Jimmy Cuska, who joins us here at Nightlight, talking sports here in Wisconsin. Lots to report. I don't really typically think of this time of year, Jim, as being really sports crazy, but, you know, the Brewers are in first place. That's pointing up. It looks like they're going to hold on this year, and they're for real, right?
You know, I don't put a lot of stock into, like, where things are in the standings until we get, like, to July, right? I feel like the first couple months of the season, you're kind of shaking things up. And for the Brewers' sake, they're dealing with a lot of injuries right now. They have 9 players on the disabled list. They've rolled out 11 different starting pitchers this year. They just got swept by the Phillies. Now, in 3 games, they were outscored 7-2. So the pitching staff, as peaceful as it is, has done the job, right? It's done a great job. Offense disappeared again a bit, but the Phillies also had they were tied for having the best record in baseball after that series. So, you know, you look at that and you say, wow, they competed. And then you hear what manager Pat Murphy says after the game. He's like, you know, people are going to look at this and say, sweep, first sweep of the year. Oh, everything is terrible. Whatever. He's like, I think this is a good thing for our guys because it's going to show them that they can hang with the best teams in baseball. And all 3 of those games really could have gone either way. And I think that's true because, you know, a bloop here, a hard hit ball gets by a glove there, and it's a completely different story this week. So the fact that they hung in tough against a team that's 44-19 as of yesterday, you know, I think that's boding pretty well for the Brewers. And, you know, it's great to just have them be one of only 4 teams in the National League with a winning record right now.
How about that? Yeah, no kidding. So, Jim, we saw this story. We thought it was kind of funny. Conrad found it before he found a funny story, and then he went to Italy for 3 weeks. But we have the Utah. First of all, how does Utah have a hockey team, a pro hockey team, and Wisconsin does not? Hockey in
Wisconsin,
Utah?
Wisconsin has the Admirals. You know, the Admirals are not the NHL, but they're pretty fun. I love Admirals.
Okay, fair point. But, I mean, Utah, and they're letting the fans name. Conrad, what are the finalists? We have that right here, Jim. All right, so here are the finalists. They're letting the fans name the team. Have you heard about this?
I have, yes. Okay. This is awesome.
The finals are – the only thing that could be better is that they let, like, high school boys always name the team, and it was always some sexual innuendo. That would be hilarious. But here are the Here are the
they can just steal the names off of Mutant League Hockey, the old Sega Genesis game. That'd be great, you know.
These could be them for all I know, but so I'll leave this to you. Here are the finals: Blizzard, Mammoth, Outlaws, Utah. Give me a break. Venom, Yeti, and the Utah Hockey Club or Utah HC. Do you have a favorite in there?
So all of those are like straight from the generic create a team in any sports video game you've ever played. There's nothing that jumps out of that list. They're all just generic pick a team names. There's nothing in that list that
we both
says, you know what? I would watch hockey.
Yeah. No, same.
I love the irony of Utah Outlaws, though.
Yeah, that's weird. That just didn't make any sense.
That's like when Wisconsin fans went to go to BYU and they were packing liquor in their suitcases. That's outlaw in Utah. That's outlaw territory in Utah.
Right. But we both kind of agreed we like Mammoth out of those. And Utah Hockey Club, it's a little too retro cute, but that's not terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, if that's your finalist list, they're probably gonna add up with something that's more geographic themed. So yeah, Yeti, Mammoth, something like Blizzard. You know, those will probably be your front runners just because of you want to have some tie in geographically, I guess. Just like because the team that they're absorbing is the Coyotes, which are pretty common in Arizona. You know, also common here in the hills of southwestern Wisconsin, yeah, as it turns out.
More and more, yeah.
But yeah. So I naming teams is always fun though, because sometimes you get some really inspired choices. I think the WNBA team names, even though they kind of take a spin on like the NBA team they're kind of paired with in their market.
Right.
But I feel like the WNBA team names are pretty inspired. I think, in soccer, you do get those FCs and soccer clubs and all that stuff. But I feel like some of the like USL or, MLS, some of those team names can be pretty inspired too. I especially like, right in Madison with Forward Madison, you're taking something right from the state you're in. I love the historical tie-ins, those ones. There's like deeper meaning to some of those. I enjoy those. In this case, none of those names seem too inspired to me, I guess.
Yeah, they could do better. They're probably going to just name it themselves. Hey, Jim, can you stick around for a couple minutes? I'd love to get your top five kids movies or TV shows.
Oh, this is a great topic. I've got an 8 and a 5-year-old. So.
All right, fantastic. Jimmy Cuska's here at Nightlight. We'll have more with Jimmy coming up next. I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Emerson Lehman will be here from the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay. Emerson has been on the show a few times. He's always a fun guest. He's going to tell us about, what is the name of the race again, Conrad? The Indy?
So it's an Indy series, and it's going on at Road America.
Okay. So we'll talk about that tomorrow night with Emerson. That'll be fun. And Terry Barr will be here Monday night. I will be in Madison, and Terry Bell will join me from the Civic Media news staff. Terry is a comedy aficionado, so we'll be talking a little bit of comedy. And then I will have Katie Scullin will be in studio performing. She's a phenomenal singer, and I can't wait to have her in the studio and interview her and hear her play. That'll be a fun show too. So right now we have a few more minutes with Jimmy Cuska, who, Jimmy, didn't really give us a name there for the Utah hockey. You kind of skirted around a little bit. Like, I know none of them are great, but.
They're all bad. They're all bad.
They're just going to...
All uninspired. I should say they're not bad. They're just uninspired. So
okay, fair enough. So you have young kids. And Stuart Waddles says hello, by the way. He was here in the first hour. We had a big talk. We did a countdown of our top five kids movies. Do you have a list or something you could share with us? We've had a lot of kids talk on this show.
Oh, for sure. I don't have like a list. I just keep in my back pocket, but... just going on what my kids have grown, kind of gone with and watching, a lot of it's going to have some recency bias because, I grew up with, like The Lion King and Little Mermaid and stuff like that. That was big when I was younger. So, my recency bias is showing with some of it. But, there was a string of the Disney Pixar movies that my kids watched just on loop, on repeat. So, they've done pretty well with the ones that have a lot of the music and singing in them. So, you've got like Moana was one that came out for both kids. They were kind of in that, the name escapes me, Lin-Manuel's, I can't even remember the name of it. I've watched it 1,000 times and the name escapes me. I just know when I click on it on the app that it's what plays. Pretty anything though that has like singing and pretty colors and moving is doing pretty well. But I think a lot of the ones that are pretty good at kind of telling a story. I know Coco was one came out because there was a lot of music theme in that one. Like music was kind of the focal point of like the entire movie. So the whole movie. There was sound throughout. It was told a pretty powerful story throughout too. So I think that one's probably a little underrated when it comes to kids movies, but it was one that definitely held the kids' attention. So I call that a win. and then I think one that kind of falls in between my childhood and my kids, but that they'll still watch the Incredibles movies because those
great
ones,
movies.
You know, they're pretty airtight when it comes to the story. And I think both just do a great job of telling a story progression. The time setting is a little older school, right? It's a little like a reimagining of like 1960s, 1970s America,
right.
But with superheroes. And it's kind of a different take on the superhero genre, which completely took over there for, you know, about a decade. So
those are great choices. I've not seen Coco, but I hear it's great. I had the Incredibles as my number 5. And I had Sandlot in there. Are you a fan of Sandlot being a sports guy? I assume you've seen it.
I'm thinking all about animated movies. Yeah, Sandlot's pretty solid. Nothing that my kids, a lot of those late 80s, early 90s, like Rookie of the Year, you know, those ones, like some of those movies, they don't hold up as well, especially compared to like some of the kids' movies that have come out recently. There's actually a really good one that's on Netflix with Adam Sandler, where he plays like a lizard and his buddy's like a turtle or whatever, and they're like in a school. I can't even think of the name of it, but that one is Leo. One that the kids will. Leo, there you go. Yeah, my kids love that movie. You know, there's enough adult humor in it, and it's pretty obvious when they make the references to it. But that one, you know, that's another one that probably people sleep on a little bit, but that's also been a good one that's come out recently. Encanto was the movie I was thinking of earlier.
Oh yeah, right. That was a big one too. Where are you at with the Toy Story films? Do your kids like the Toy Story films?
So I the kids are kind of indifferent to it. I think that there's so many characters and not a lot of the toys kind of relate to what my kids actually have for toys, you know. So that's part of it for people my age, you know, in my generation. Yeah, we recognize all the different figures, you know. And when the movie came out when I was younger, it was obviously, you know, animation wise was pretty mind blowing, right?
Right.
I thought 3 was kind of a good stopping point for that. So 3, I feel like is one of the untouchable animated movies of all time in terms of just everything, how it ties everything together. It's that perfect send off at the end. So like when 4 came out, I you know, it was a little weird because I thought 3 was like kind of the perfect ending to it all.
I agree. And 4 was the scary one, right? That was one where kids were terrified.
Yeah. And 4 was just, like I said, it was unnecessary. They didn't need to do it. You know, it was totally unnecessary to do it. So I thought 3 was a good ending to it. But yeah, the Toy Story movies, obviously, they kind of define the genre in a way.
Yeah,
especially the first one.
I could not agree more. And I will say 2 words in response to Toy Story 4 and why it happened. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
What about have you seen Mall Comp?
Yep. That's not really a kids movie though, is it? More of a...
we were having that discussion earlier. I think it's pretty tame. My son and I saw it when he was 10, and it's very milquetoasty, but kind of cute, you know. And I would say it is a film. Stuart shot down my Dumb and Dumber argument for making that a kids film, and he's right. It is not a kids film, but I would put Mall Cop in there. I liked it.
Mall Cop is a safe, you know, like we want the adults in the room to kind of go, oh, look up from their phone for like 3 seconds and then chuckle at something kind of movie. Right. Very safe movie to play with kids around is what I would call that.
Dude, you are amazing. You have more sports knowledge in your head between high school, college, and pro, and you still have your finger on the pulse of kids movies. Very impressive. And
well, I got 2 kids, man. My kids are, and it's what we do is like we pick a movie. Another series, the Kung Fu Panda series, the most recent one that came out, completely unnecessary, didn't need to do it. But the first 3, those are actually our go-tos when our house is painted white, so our garage door is white. And we put a projector in our garage, and we'll go sit out in our driveway and watch that one on the projector. That one and Big Hero 6, which is another incredible. Big Hero 6 might be my favorite one out of the bunch.
Wow, yeah. I forgot about that one too. Great stuff. So. Thanks so much, Jim, for your time tonight. You're always fun. Love catching up with you on the show. So much fun.
All right, I'm rocking the Civic Media hat tonight.
Oh, I see that.
So just The quick plug is that you can order these right on our merch store on our website. So civicmedia.us, find our merch tab, and you can rock out one of these cool Civic Media hats.
Very well done. Thank you for the reminder. All right, Jimmy Cuska, thanks
product
so much,
placement,
buddy.
Man. Product yeah, placement.
I got to get better at that. Thank you, buddy. Have a great night.
Take care, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Jimmy Cuska. I'd like to thank Jimmy and Stuart J. Waddles, two members of the Civic Media family. So much fun. Great movie suggestions, everybody. Your texts were phenomenal. Thank you so much for being part of the show, as always. Tomorrow night, we'll be back here with a lot more fun and a little racing talk, some music, all the kind of fun stuff we do here at Nightlight every night. Conrad, great to have you back. I'm going to keep saying that until you go on another trip. I thought you every actually night. Took a powder tonight. I was like, Conrad? He's getting phone calls back there. He's so popular. People want to talk to him. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba on behalf of Conrad and the Civic Media Network. Good night, Wisconsin. Word up, talk, just move right up the wall.